Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe. All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast. My name is Caleb, and I'm your host. And today I'm excited to have on Amanda Wagner from Basalt, Colorado. And Amanda, you are the owner or director of the Aspen Clinic. Can you clarify real quick for me which one that is?
Yeah, so I'm a 10% shareholder. I have a couple of silent partners that help me. And like I said, silent.
Yes, key on the silent part. I know a lot of gym owners listening to this are like, man, I wish mine were. But that's fantastic. Okay, cool. So you're in Basalt, Colorado, which for those of you, I had no idea there was even a Basalt, Colorado. And I lived in Colorado for 4 months. But everyone knows where Aspen is. And so you have the Aspen Clinic and you're near just outside of Aspen. And so walk us through kind of what it is that the clinic does. And we'll talk about the gym in just a second. If you can give us an overview of the clinic itself and who you serve.
Yeah. So, you know, we opened up in 2011 and our intent was to be more of a wellness clinic than a fitness center. Mm-hmm. And the goal there is to really help patients navigate the medical world. And it's very confusing. And a lot of people will try to, you know, assume that the doctor knows everything, but the doctor really doesn't. And so really helping patients, we took a little bit of advocacy role with them and moved into some health coaching and helping people kind of help and navigate and figure out their own reasons for changing. Mm-hmm. And so we started that in 2011. And then in 2013, we opened up the fitness center. We added a little nutritional component to it as well. So we have some dietitians and some nutritionists. And then we work really closely with physical therapists, with a lot of orthopedic surgeons. We have some big injuries here in the Roaring Fork Valley, as we call it. And then also, of course, with your regular primary care physician.
Okay, that's amazing, which I think, frankly, for a lot of gym owners, I know for myself, with a sports performance background and working with athletes, there was always this dream of creating this one place, right, where you can take someone from post-surgery, right? Post-op, immediately start to integrate them into the next steps of where they need to go, all the way back into the gym and then back onto whether it's life or their field. So my question to you is, what got you into this in the beginning? Like, how did you start down this path, this journey?
Yeah. Well, as a former athlete, I went to college, played sports, graduated from college, and got moved actually back here. Kind of a long story, but had some friends that convinced me to move back. And I started in the hospitality world. So, you know, a lot of food and beverage service here in the Valley, a lot of tourism. And so I found real quickly that I was trying to be that, you know, hard worker and then long hours, long days, and then the weekend warrior. Mm. And within about 4 years, I had torn my ACL twice. I had herniated a couple of discs in my back and I had torn my labrum in my hip.
Oh my goodness.
And I thought, God, I don't think this is working out for me. I mean, I think the money's good and this is fun and it's certainly satisfying because it was challenging, but it wasn't working for me. So I did what I said was I retired and I had a lot of vacation time. I took 2 or 3 months off and there was a gym in the building that we're in. And I was like, I went up to the manager and I said, I'm going to manage the gym for you. And he's like, well, I can only pay you like, you know, whatever, $12 an hour. And I was like, that's fine. I just really want to get back into fitness. And so I got my personal training certification. Not long after that, 2 or 3 months, the owner of the building and a couple of physicians had started the Aspen Clinic and they needed an administrator. And so I just rolled right into that and started that whole concept. So, you know, the big concept for me was at that point, I was recovering from my second ACL surgery. So I quickly identified that if you don't keep up with your PT and you don't move into that next level, you likely will re-tear your ACL. And the statistics are very, very high of re-tears. And so right away I was like, okay, this is a great concept. If we can kind of get engaged with these physicians, we can get engaged with these physical therapists and show them that they can trust us and we're going to do what they want us to do and extend the care that they're working on, then great. And what people don't understand really is that with physical therapy, the physical therapists are limited in how they treat you because insurance gauges that. They say, great, you're able to walk, you're able to do activities of daily living, you're done. That doesn't work for of us. And so we need that next step. We need that next push. And so that was one of the big pieces why we started the fitness component of TAC. We just use the acronym now. Sometimes I play around and call it the Amanda Club.
I love that. Okay. And so this is amazing. There's so much I could dive into just right there. I'm going to bypass it just for now. We'll probably come back to it. I'll probably have some more questions, but the fitness center, let's talk about that specifically, because there's obviously a lot of components in the clinic in itself that we could probably talk for days about. But just for the sake of this podcast and staying focused on the fitness center, you started that, you said, in 2013. Now, that was someone, we were talking offline right before, and that was someone else that had started a gym, correct? Or that had come in and actually not really started it, but was running the gym, correct?
Yeah, so he was running it and he ended up just leaving. And so the space was vacant. Hmm. He had the rubber floors, the stereo system was still there. And we thought, wow, we could really take this concept, instead of relying on another fitness center to do it for us, we could really take this concept to another place. So we kind of have two facets of the gym itself. And one side is what we call kind of the no excuses side, right? So it's your machines, yeah, your incumbent bikes, even your upper body bikes, your treadmills, your ellipticals. And I call it the no excuses side because if you've got an arm injury, a leg injury, any sort of injury, you likely can do a multitude of those machines, right? So whether you're sitting on the recumbent bike or you're sitting on the upper body bike because you can't walk because you're on crutches. And so that's kind of the intent. And then we have the other side, which is the functional side. So cable machines, free weights, dumbbells, barbells, all of that. And really just letting people see, you know, where they can fit in. With that, we also have your traditional group exercise fitness studio, spin classes and HIIT and TRX and body pump. And that's wildly popular and very, very, you know, successful for us, which is great because, you know, we know in a community with fitness that it's all about, you know, building those relationships and having that social interaction. And then in 2015, you know, me personally, like I said, I was kind of telling my story of injury to recovery to the post rehab. I had started in the gym. I was just calling some girlfriends. I'm like, I need some friends to work out with. I identified right away. I am not a girl that works out on her own. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work for me. I can't stay focused. I get distracted. I get bored. I mean, there's a combination of things. So I'm like a lot of people. And so I was creating these workouts and I was like, gosh, I'm sick of being the one that's motivating them and I'm trying to motivate myself and I'm building the workout. And so it became a little monotonous to me. And so I talked with a local athlete friend and I said, you know, this whole CrossFit thing is happening. And I think they have a good grasp on understanding, right, the community and the social and the pushing and the workouts of the day. But it's not for me, right? I'm a super competitive person. I do not need to be in a timed environment, any sort of weight. Like, it's not going to happen. I will do whatever it takes to beat the person next to me. I don't even care. And I know that. And so I thought, well, there's got to be a way that we can really kind of take the good things of what's happening in CrossFit and take away the bad things that we're seeing, because it's so easy to see it from the inside out, right? Or the outside looking in. Yeah. And so how do we create this performance center? So we created the performance center with the athlete in mind. So a lot of what we do is stability-based work. It's mobility-based. It's, you're going to do a lot of things balancing on one leg and with one weight in one arm and hinging and squatting and rotating and all of that. And so we really try to complement, but then take those other, you know, great things that the CrossFit has, right? Which is, you know, the workouts of the day, they change. So it's fresh, it's fun, it's a little competitive, right? And that we're trying to get everybody to push each other. And, you know, we're doing strength, we're doing endurance, we're doing cardio, we're pushing you. And most of the time, you're going to walk away being like, wow, that was fun. I can go ski today. Yeah. I can mountain bike today. Every once in a while, though, you will, like last week, last Wednesday, I was crushed for like 2 days. And every once in a while, a workout will get you that way. But for the most part, that's not the intent. We don't want you sore all the time. We want you to be able to do the workout 5 days a week and then go do whatever you want with your family and your friends. And so that's kind of where we're at now. Yeah, just TAC Fitness, kind of, you know, three fitness aspects with the fourth wellness concept and really trying to be the resource for individuals that are in the community.
That's amazing, especially with how active that area is. If anyone's been to Colorado, they understand how everyone's hiking, everyone's outside biking, they're doing something outdoors, they're being active, they're trying to live their life outdoors, just in a beautiful area. And so it obviously becomes a big piece of that. So You have those three aspects. How big is your space? Just curious, because I know we had spoke offline. The group fitness side was 1,700 square feet, I believe. How about the no excuses side? Like, how big is that?
The no excuses side is about 2,000 square feet.
Okay.
And the other side is about 2,000. So the gym itself is about almost 4,000 square feet. And the performance center is about 900 square feet. So 1,600 square feet total is what we're actually looking to expand a little bit into another little community called Carbondale, which is just down valley, closer to Glenwood Springs.
Nice. So you're going to expand into another location and go down there. And that's the TAC Fitness side of it, not the actual clinic aspect.
Correct. That's the TAC Fitness side of it. But you have that resource to be in the community to access those others. And we may actually partner with the physical therapy group, and they may rent some space from us, which will be really great exposure for us. But also, you know, kind of really showing people that we really do care about wanting to prevent injuries as well.
Mm-hmm. That makes total sense. Okay. So who's your demographic across the board, typically? I'm assuming that it's probably different depending on which aspect we're talking about, right? If it's group fitness, it's going to be slightly different. If you're looking at the no excuses area, and obviously people probably transition into other aspects or other areas. So what does the demographics look like?
Yeah, you know, you're correct. I mean, obviously from the group fitness standpoint, you're trying to capitalize with everybody, right? So we have some supportive yoga classes and some stretch and core classes. So those classes majorly are 40 to 80 year olds that are really kind of tapping into that. In the gym, it's across the board. We have 12 year olds working out with their parents. And, you know, I think there was a guy sitting on the couch when I walked in. I think he's mid 70s. So the gym is across the board. We have a huge Silver Sneakers clientele, and the Silver Sneakers is that 65 and older group. And then in the performance center, it's really kind of 25 to 50. I say that because we do have, you know, 10 members that are, I think, in their 60s, which is awesome to either work out with them and just be inspired by what they can do and how they can push themselves as well. So it's really, you know, it's a broad demographic of people that we have. And I think that's what's also really fun about it, is that no matter who you are, you're probably going to find someone your age or someone that kind of shares your experiences as well.
That's awesome, because that's a peer community. That's a peer community, right? It's not like a clique, right? It's like you've got ages all over the place, and you've got people with different interests, different goals coming in, but all going after a very common goal.
You know, and I'd say that's the big thing that differentiates us, is coming from a customer service, food service, background. We identified right away that it's challenging, even for me still. I know what I'm doing in a gym and a group fitness club, and you name it, I know what I'm doing, but I will walk in, you know, I'll go to Denver and, you know, do some work, and I'll walk into some places and I almost feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of that old school gym mentality. And we've worked to avoid that. I mean, my front desk manager wants nothing to do with fitness. You know, she's like, not really my thing. I'll go on walks and whatnot, but that's not why she's there. She's there to be, member services for our members, and to greet them and to help them get their coffee and, you know, to make them feel comfortable. So we say hi to everybody that walks in, and making everyone feel comfortable, I think, is probably also one of the true things that differentiates us from a lot of other facilities, is we're not clicky. We welcome everybody, and we want you to feel comfortable here.
That's awesome. I love it. What that kind of answers one of my questions that I was going to have later on. So that's good. I'll probably ask it again, and we'll see what comes up. With your background in customer service and in the hospitality industry, what have you specifically taken from there that you've put into your gym to help the customer experience, right? And to kind of go above and beyond what a typical gym would do? Like, how do you believe that you have done something different than what most gyms do?
It's a good saying. So the place that I worked at was a high-end private club, and one of their mottos was find a way to say yes. Mm. And so that's what we do here. You know, it's whatever we can, you know, if my manager's at the desk and someone is asking her how to use a specific piece of equipment or wants, you know, a specific exercise to work something, she's going to find a trainer around or even find a member that she knows could help them and go help with it. So it's not that's not really something I do, but you know what, hold on, let me go see if I can try to grab somebody. And so really all working together and finding that way to say yes, you know, of you know, whether it's someone looking for a trainer, maybe I'm not the right fit, but let me find someone that is for you. We'll try to make this as easy as possible for you. And just showing that we're invested in them, you know, and from the beginning.
That's amazing. How many members do you have right now across all three areas?
Yeah, now we have about 700. We're getting back up there. We had over 1,000 before COVID, but we're getting back up there.
Okay. So you lost roughly 30% or maybe a little bit more depending on where you're at.
Yep.
And so COVID, let's talk about that impact. Obviously, besides just the members, you lost the members, you've got some coming back. What other impacts did that have on your business?
Yeah, I mean, it was ironically, last January and February of 2020 were our two busiest months ever. And another local gym had closed down. I think we brought in, I was just looking at these numbers, 150 members in 1 month, new members, brand new people, never been to our facility before. And I remember at one point, and I'm glad that I can say this because, you know, of course, hindsight's 2020.
Yeah.
I said to one of my staff, I said, oh my gosh, it's way too busy in here. People are going to start complaining because they can't find the equipment they want. We're going to have to do something different. 2 weeks later, we're forced to close down March 17th. I remember the exact date. And I was like, well, I guess the writing was on the wall there.
You didn't have to do anything, actually.
I just kind of joked about it. I was like, well, okay, just close the doors and that'll solve this situation. What we did, I mean, a lot of people were like, well, you're closed now, so good for you. What are you going to do? You're going to go to the desert? And I mean, Moab's like 3.5 hours away. And
yeah.
And I found myself saying to a lot of people, I haven't worked this hard in a couple of years. So what we turned right around to doing is we just went right into that customer service mode. What do our members need? What do they want? How can we support them? And how can we do that? And so at first we were able to do some private training with members. We were able to kind of open up some doors a little bit to let people kind of utilize our facilities. We have we're kind of three distinct places. Literally, the gym is not attached to the studio. The studio is not attached to the performance center. So it's kind of nice and unique that it's not all one big space.
That's great.
But we just pivoted right away. We're like, okay, virtual. How can we start offering some things to our members virtually? And so we just got a Zoom account, started email blasting our members, started doing some recordings of some Zooms. The instructors stepped up right away, whether it was just posting workouts, whether it was doing workouts, and all of our members just kind of switched to the virtual platform. We, you know, at that point we retained most of our members because people really wanted to support us and they knew that we wanted to take care of our instructors and to support them because, you know, at that point we were kind of sitting ducks, so to speak. But we got to open up 3 weeks later to very, very limited capacity. And we decided, you know what, there's a lot of people that don't feel comfortable coming in. So now we went from physical only to virtual only to now this blend of physical and virtual. Mm-hmm. And to this day, we still record and do it live. Our group exercise classes, we have a nice iPad sitting up and the instructor goes in and hits start. And we have, you know, two or three people that are attending virtually per class. And then we also record the workouts so that our members can access it. So we're on the MindBody platform. They have now a virtual offering, so we can use their system to record and showcases the classes virtually as well, which is nice. So now we can make sure that we know who's taking the classes, and you have to be a member to take it, and you have to be a member to access those videos. So we've stayed with that, and it's been really great. And what we find is a lot of people are starting to support us even more because they were so grateful that we were there for them when everything was shut down. And they, you know, are just grateful that we're still there for them now. We are 100% masks inside. So if you're going to come into the gym, I obviously have mine off right now for this purpose, but to be in the gym, if you're going to be in our facility, your mask is going to be on all the time, which has prevented us from closing down.
That's huge.
We've had those contact tracers and we've had all that. And it's been like, well, if they haven't come within 6 feet of someone for more than 15 minutes and they keep their mask on, then just let everybody know. And if they don't develop symptoms, then you're good. So we haven't had to close since we got to reopen. So we're really grateful with that.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And have you started to see, obviously, because you have people coming back and you guys are on the way back, have you started to see, for everyone that stopped coming and maybe canceled or put their membership on pause, are you starting to see a lot of people starting to come back and be more comfortable being out in public and being around other people in a workout environment?
Yeah, so ironically here as well, we've been trying to figure out, I think we just have a big, I mean, we have two hospitals for only about 30,000 people. We've got, three major orthopedic clinics here. And so a lot of people are in the medical community. And so what we're seeing is a lot of people have both of their vaccinations, and they're feeling more comfortable being around, and they feel comfortable with the mask. So, I kind of told you what we got last February. We're, slowly ramping up. I think we had 50 brand new clients in January. These aren't returning members. So in addition to our returning members, and then we've got another 60 members coming in through February, which is really great. So these are new organic members that haven't been here before. And then we have those people that are returning. And, the sad thing too is I think a lot of people used COVID as an excuse to get out of their gym membership, which is really unfortunate. And I bit my tongue a lot when I had to, answer those questions and let them go. But I don't want people to pay for a gym membership because I've suckered them into it, and I'm just making money on them. So that kind of goes against our ethos as well. So as much as I wanted to lecture them about the importance of moving and strength training and flexibility, I just, I kind of let some of those people go, and it was for a better cause for us, for sure.
Absolutely. You probably, it was a shaking of the tree that ultimately you'll replace them with people that do want to come to the gym and do want to take up your service.
Exactly. And we always offer at least a free day to everyone because we want to make sure we're a good fit for you as well. We want to make sure you like it here. We want to make sure you feel comfortable here. I hate hearing, and I saw this a lot during COVID. A lot of places just kept kind of auto charging their clients just to keep the money rolling in. And we did that, but we offered services. I mean, we went from 60 classes a week physically to 35 classes a week virtually in under 2 or 3 days. So we thought, well, we'd like to still charge you, but we'd like to continue to provide a service to you. And so it was really fun to even look at the videos of what the instructors did, and the milk cartons, and the baby, and I mean, just fun little things that people were finding around the house that they could do some strength training with.
That's awesome. AK, you did the right thing. You did the right thing.
It felt good, right?
And the result is, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, right? When people start to come back and your gym will start to grow again, it's where it should be. That's amazing. So I want to kind of get into a couple things which I think are interesting topics that we could talk about or go down. And it's more so of like the business aspect of running a massive facility like you do, because you have a lot of things on your plate. And so how many employees do you have? Do you manage?
I have 7 full-time employees and probably 20, 25 independent contractors. Right around 30, 35 people that I oversee and manage.
Interesting.
I identified right away, while I am an athlete, I identified, and I believe I'm also a good trainer, is that I'm better at managing people and overseeing operations and coming up with great, unique ideas. I'm better at that than I am at training. And so when I realized, and I say that because I love it a lot as well. Like, I love my own personal fitness. I love training 2 or 3 times a week, not 40 hours a week. And so I identified right away that that was the position that I needed to be in. So then what I needed to do is I needed to find people that complemented me. And so my lead trainer, she does exactly that. She's a very competitive athlete here in the Valley. She trains, 30, 40 hours a week. My performance center director, same thing. She coaches a lot of the performance center classes that we have. She oversees it. She writes the programming for it. And then she also trains privately as well. And so what I've done was, everybody knows this, but it's hard to do, and it's hard to kind of let go, is I've trusted the people that I brought on, and I've put them in good positions where they can be successful.
That's amazing. What's been the progression of people that have reported to you since you basically kind of started the fitness side after the old gym owner or gym person left previously, kind of left you guys started over? How many people were you overseeing at that point? And obviously you're at like 32 roughly now, 30, 32 to 35. What was that like in the beginning?
I mean, well, I'd managed people in my other job, so that wasn't a challenge. I knew kind of right away that I was going to need some help. And so I kind of told my partners, I was like, listen, I can do this, but I can't do this alone. And so I had, I think, about 2 or 3 part-time people, and then, maybe 3 or 4 trainers part-time, independent contractor trainers. And then when we started the group exercise classes, I've always found it's better to start small and add rather than start big and take away.
Yeah.
And so just slowly we've grown into that. And, you know, it's kind of looking at the other side of some negative things like COVID is that it allowed me to get rid of some attrition and to get rid of some instructors and trainers that weren't really serving us. And so I think now we've got the best team that I've ever seen, and everybody chips in for everybody and everybody's working together. And I even have a lead instructor that she oversees the group exercise studio classes. And what I do is I just meet with them once a week and I say, okay, what's going on? What don't I know about? Because everyone assumes that I know everything. And I don't know. I'm like, I didn't know that the speakers in the studio were making a crackling sound. How long has that been happening? You know, and so just getting in touch with them and listening to them and hearing them. And what are the members saying? What are the other instructors saying? You know, my front desk staff, of course, they hear everything. Mm-hmm. Trying to listen to that and figure out how I can take that information to continue to build and make sure that we've got the right people in the right places. Has been one of the big drivers.
That's amazing. So you've obviously managed people for a long time. So you have a lot of experience in managing people, helping people grow, being in an operational plus visionary position, because you're kind of in a dual position right now and have been for a while. So for you, what do you still struggle with? What do you feel like you still need to work on in a management role as a manager?
I think one of the biggest challenges that I have is that empathy and that openness with my staff. I don't particularly care if you ask me about my weekend and what I did. And, but I realize that people do. And I realize that that not everyone's like me. And, you know, they just want to be heard. They want to be noticed. They want to be engaged. And so, ironically, this happened probably 4 or 5 years ago now, is that I used to like barge in the door and be like, you know, X, Y, and Z, I need you to do da, 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 da. And I did it politely. And at one point my manager said to me, I'm great, Amanda. Thank you for asking. And how are you doing today? And yeah. I paused and I was like, huh, it's a good point. And so always taking the time for staff. So my manager had been gone for a week. I walked in, I had some other ideas of what I was going to do between the hour that I got here and the hour that I started talking to you. And she came in and just sat down and started chatting with me. And I thought, okay, take a deep breath, take some time, you know, just spend some time with her, because it's really the personal connections that we make. And then, you know, then what that does is that brings a level of connection that we have with each other and helps them to make great decisions when I'm not around. It also empowers them to do what they think that they need to do. So in all reality, the more time I spend kind of learning about them and their goals and their aspirations and what they do for fun and what they did this weekend really makes the business better. And it makes me better because they feel respected and they feel like they've been touched and they feel like it's not just a job that, you know, this is, you know, one of my full-time employees, she calls it her gym when she makes the tour. She's like, this is my equipment and this is my gym and this is my floor. And I love it. I think it's great. I want them to feel like they own it. A part of it as well. This isn't all about me. And so that's probably one of the most challenging things that I have with is, you know, that communication. I love everybody, but I'm just not that small talk type of person. And so, you know, just realizing that people don't have to be the way I want them to be, and they don't have to be the way I am, which is kind of a positive thing as well. I tend to be very business oriented and focused, and just taking the time to do that. So now, you know, the meetings that I have with my staff, we'll just go out to lunch now that we can. So we're supporting another local business and just kind of chatting and taking the time in the morning to have a conversation with them and stopping and pausing and taking 5 minutes to see how they're doing and how I can help is a challenge. But I think overall, it's probably one of the most gratifying challenges that you can have.
That's awesome. Is that a piece of advice that you would give someone who is just starting out in their managerial position as either a gym owner and they're just starting to hire people and starting to grow their business? Is that the type of advice that you would give, or is there something else that you would give to someone if you could give them one piece of advice?
Yeah, no, I have a saying. It says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Mm-hmm. And my boss at my other place, I just remember just all the things that she did that were just thoughtful and kind and nice. And you know, at one point she dropped like a $15,000 wedding cake and like on the ground before the bride saw it. And she was like, Amanda, can you help me pick this up? Just like that, like very politely, very kindly, instead of yelling. And so, you know, that's, it's really all about caring and just let them know, you know, that they're important to you and they're important to the business. And that goes a long way.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm going to switch gears a little bit, question wise. So what do you charge? What's the monthly fee, the membership pricing? Does it include everything? How does it break out?
Yeah. So we have kind of about three different price points. We have your gym only price point. Well, we have more than that. We have your gym classes price point. Then we have your performance center price point, which is a small group training. And then we have kind of the all-inclusive. So the all-inclusive is $200 a month. Mm-hmm. You access to the gym, to the classes and the performance center. The gym itself is $110 a month, and then gym and classes is $125 a month. Of course, the price decreases if you make a commitment for a year. Even if you want to do like a 3-month or 6-month paid in full. We've got punch passes that we offer. That's really kind of the price point of this valley. I mean, I look at, you know, across a lot of states and I'm like, $20 for a gym membership? I'd need 3,000 members. And I don't even know if there's 3,000 people around here that could come. So being in a small kind of rural place, yeah. That, you know, it's kind of the quality that we're shooting for rather than the quantity. So I don't need 2,000 members. I don't want 2,000 members. I mean, we had 1,200 members at one point and it was not the business model that I had kind of envisioned. You know, I don't want to pack people into the gym and make people wait for equipment and yeah. And put people on top of each other. That's not fun for me. I've been there before and I don't like it. So I'm not going to put the members through that as well.
That makes total sense. So I'm going to ask a question on, I don't want to get into revenue or anything like that. It's more of, for a lot of gym owners, they're not sure. I think a lot of gym owners, especially new gym owners, don't understand how much it actually costs to run a gym and the expenses associated with it, especially the size that you're doing it at. So what is the typical monthly expense just to run your gyms, all three locations?
Well, the expense, mm-hmm. God, you know, it's probably somewhere between $40,000 and $60,000 a month.
Does that include payroll?
That includes payroll. That includes instructors. That includes rent. Our biggest expense is our instructors and our trainers. I mean, that's 60% of the cost for us. And, you know, that's the biggest challenge for people is I think people think that you're kind of just guessing. But I talked about earlier expanding into Carbondale. I have a pro forma that I have where I have a bunch of different scenarios. I have what I think the rent's going to cost, what I really need the rent to be. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about an additional insurance charge. I'm thinking about internet. I'm thinking about the cost of my instructors. I'm thinking about how many classes do I need per week to make this work. And guess what? In an ideal situation, the first month of our new location, we're not going to make money. In fact, we're not even going to break even. And I'm aware of that. And I can share that with my partners and I can share that with my, you know, staff and say, hey, listen, we're not going to come out of the gate and just all of a sudden we have all these new members that are paying all this money and we're just offering all these classes. No, we're going to have to do it the other way around. We're going to have to offer these classes and then get those members to come. So that's the biggest piece is know your members, know your expenses. You know, we really saved ourselves during COVID because we saved on expenses. I mean, we were down 20% overall in net profit, mm-hmm. But we were down almost 50% in expenses. So clearly our income's down, but we decreased what we could control. And I can control my operational costs, right? I know that. I know what they are. I can control whether I clean something or I hire someone to clean it, or I can make sure that my staff is more efficient when they're at the desk and cleaning. And so, you know, kind of managing those. Do we really need that all that, you know, whatever, certain supplies. Do we really need that or can we wait? It's kind of the game you have to play. Moving into a new location, I was just about to spend $4,000 or $5,000 on some merchandise, some t-shirts and some cool swag. And I'm like, I think we're just going to get some stickers and some hats. Because you realize it all adds up, right? Like I'll keep that $2,000 and I'll put it towards some rent. And, you know, if we lose some money here and there. And so knowing that and understanding that and not being blind to it, I think it's going to be challenging to succeed in a new location. I don't think we're just going to open the doors and the floodgates are going to open and we're just going to be busy and making money. And I'm aware of that. And so I express that to the staff as well. Like, hey, it's going to take some time, and we're all going to have to work together to kind of let people know that we're open and we're there, and it's going to cost money to bring in equipment and all of that. And so, those are the challenges. And then, the bigger thing too, like I said, knowing your numbers is that it knowing when to say no is big. We have a really small satellite location in Carbondale right now, just to see if it would work. And I thought timing wise, we could move out of that location and move into the new location. Not so much. So then I was like, well, maybe I'll rent a place for 2 or 3 months until we can move into the space that I want to be in. It's gonna cost
Smart.
money to do that, right? So we're literally going to close our doors in Carbondale, move all that equipment into a trailer. It's going to stay in a trailer for, hopefully it's only 2 or 3 weeks. It may be 4 weeks until we can move into the new location. So knowing when to say no and then just making that decision and going with it and getting the other trainers on board. Okay, of course, it's about saving money, but it's about being fiscally responsible. And so, now how are we going to take care of those members in Carbondale? That now don't have a place to go. What are we going to do? What's our plan? What does this look like? Can we partner with someone? Can we get those people to come up to Basalt? And just working together through that as well. So I kind of went a little bit more in detail
Oh,
there.
I love
It's not easy. I have another thing in my inbox that says, don't wish for an easier life. Wish you were better. Wish you were trying harder. Just making smart, sound decisions. But that's kind of the fun about being an entrepreneur is it's exciting, it's scary. I just got this. This was on my tea bag last night, so I want to share it with you.
Yeah.
The unknown is where all outcomes are possible. Enter it with grace.
I love that.
Right?
Love that.
That's
That's
fitting for
awesome.
my stress reliever tea at 8 o'clock at night.
I love it. That's amazing. So how I love this conversation. I also love how you do business, how you focus on the numbers, and how you focus on your client experience. So how often do you check your numbers?
Probably once a week.
Okay.
Our MindBody software has a they have a cool app that I can go into and I can click on business reports. So I can view the sales of every day. I can look at new clients. I can look at where we are this month compared to last year, same month, which is a little bit like I said, last February was our biggest year ever. So I'm like, oh, I'm 56%. But taking all that into account, so I check my numbers once a week. I have a really great bookkeeper. I get my financials usually. I just got my financials yesterday for the month of January. So I read into those, and sometimes I'm not afraid to ask her stupid questions. Like I know she told me that this is where she's coded something, and I can't remember why or where or how it is. And I'm like, hey, I know you've told me this before, but tell me this again. With those PPP loans, we applied for those. I applied for every grant I could, and I had a lot of questions about why they were going on the balance sheet, and then all of a sudden they appeared in the P&L as income, and really understand that. So I asked those questions, and I think that's the thing that I do have a lot of experience at this point in the game, but I do not know everything, and I do not pretend like I know everything. And so having a little humility, and being open and honest with my integrity are two big things. So just staying working in the business and on the business, I think are really important, but to a point that it's not overbearing. I try to shut it off at 7 o'clock at night, and I try to do minimal work on the weekends unless I really need to. But trying to also establish my boundaries has been nice as well.
That's awesome. I love it. So what is this is my last question. We could probably talk a lot. I have a lot of questions, but we could probably talk for another couple hours. But I want to honor your time in this podcast. What's something that keeps you up at night right now regarding your business?
Making the wrong decision, failure. Failure combined with excitement. So, ironically, what kept me up last night was I'm thinking about the space, this new space. I'm thinking about my pro forma. Did I miss? I'm sure there's some numbers that I've missed. This is too good to be true. Is this going to work? I need someone to look over this. And so, kind of that, when I say failure and then excitement, it's kind of that doubt and then that I don't want any surprises. And so trying to make sure, and of course, then there's the little things like, oh, shoot, I totally forgot to do that, of course. But I like being excited. That's the best part about being an entrepreneur is not knowing what the next step is and having these great opportunities to look forward to something. And I'm not someone that could come at 9 o'clock and leave at 5 o'clock and I sit at my computer and I do this all, like I can't even say it without losing excitement. Oh, yeah. And so that's one of the fun things. So the excitement of the next step and what am I going to do and a great idea keep me awake just as much as kind of that opportunity of, oh God, what if this doesn't work out? And then what am I going to do? And what's my plan? And how, you know, who am I going to fail? And what is this going to look like? And so, you know, kind of the combination, it's kind of a good and bad type of thing to keep me awake. And then what have I missed? Have I really done my due diligence? Because I found that when I really start to question something, when I really start to be fearful about something, it means I haven't done my due diligence. That's what I've learned about myself. It means that I haven't taken the time to dig in and make sure that I'm doing it right. And so I'll kind of go in with things with some blinders on. I'm really opening those up. So, you know, my staff is close. I'll say, hey, what do you think about this? Do you think this is going to work? If I put these numbers in here, but do you think this will even work? And so, you know, knowing that I don't have all the answers as well. And so being, you know, I said humble enough to ask everyone, you know, what they think, because they do look at you as the leader and, you know, you're taking them and to places and they respect you, but it's okay to say, hey, what do you think about this? You know? And I think that is for greater buy-in. And then it makes me feel like I'm not alone making these decisions, that, you know, we're doing this together.
I love it. You're playing the game, the ultimate game.
Yeah. Yeah. Teamwork, the teamwork game, right? I mean, anyone who's anyone never made it alone. You know, everybody knows that there's always someone else helping them or a group of people. And, you know, regardless of that. So yeah, that's, I try to stay in it and on it, the business, but not too much.
I love it. That's awesome. There's always got to be a balance in some form or fashion. How that is on the continuum obviously depends on each person, but that's fantastic. I love it.
And it varies. It varies, right? Like some weeks I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so busy. And other weeks I'm like, what? It's 2 o'clock and I'm caught up and
what is this?
Yeah. And then I start to feel guilty. And so, you know, just kind of be mindful of all that.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So if someone's in Aspen or Carbondale, Basalt, how can they reach out to you? What's the best way to get in contact to come to the gym? Obviously not you specifically, but what's the best way they can get in contact with the gym?
Yeah, I mean, the best way to do it is just to go to the website, tacfitness.org. We're on Google as well, pretty high rated up there. So if you just typed in Tac Fitness or gym, you're going to find us. But yeah, that's the best way. We're obviously on social media. It's the Aspen Clinic Tac. And we're pretty active in all of that. Sign up for a newsletter or just stop by and check out, you know, our facility and what we do and how we do it.
I love it. If I'm ever in Aspen again, I've been there. If I'm ever in Aspen again, I will make sure that I stop by.
Yeah, you can't miss us. We're just right on the side of the road on the way up Valley. So stop by Tac Fitness.
I love it. Awesome. Amanda, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks, Kale. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's 4 ways we can help you grow your gym for free. 1, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. 2, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. 3, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. 4, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.